Are you curious where players like Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jeremy Rutgers, and others will be drafted later this week? Well, Bill Bender from Sporting News is with us to help us answer that question. He recently released an Ohio State-only mock draft, and he's here to go over each pick, where each Buckeye will go in this year's 2022 NFL Draft. You can hear it all right here on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Tuesday, April 26th in the year 2022, and I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen of every single day. That is correct. You heard correctly. Bill Bender from Sporting News is back. He is a fixture here in the podcast throughout the offseason and during the season as well. Well, he recently released an Ohio State-only mock draft, and we go pick by pick where each player will go, why they will land at the team they will land at, possibly land at, later this week. I love Bill Bender. He has a great perspective, easy person to talk to and discuss college football with and NFL draft stuff with, and I surely believe you will love every second of our conversation. And joining us now here on Locked On Buckeyes, it is Bill Bender from Sporting News. Bill, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I recently saw your article. I think it was last week at this point that it came out, an Ohio State-only mock draft. And I was looking through it, just seeing different things, different thoughts you had about where Buckeyes would land, where Buckeyes might fall, maybe even like in the first round. What's your overall thought or consensus on this year's Buckeye draft eligible players?
I mean, you'll probably have seven players drafted, according to most mocks, maybe eight. But, you know, it's another year where they're going to have a strong class. And, I mean, it starts at the top. You're going to definitely see two receivers go in the first round, which hasn't happened. I had to go back and look. I forgot that Ted Ginn and Anthony Gonzalez were both first-round picks in 2007. So it starts at the top with them, and then you've got some really top-end defensive linemen and a couple offensive linemen that are going to end up getting drafted, and it should be another strong class for the Buckeyes. Probably not enough to have the most draft picks, but good enough for another solid showing.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I know Buckeye fans, and even sometimes myself, I get a little down looking at the number of players that will be drafted this year, potentially drafted, versus what we see from last year and, well, years prior. But, I mean, seven people drafted, maybe eight drafted in this draft, that's not bad at all. That's not a bad way to even build off of what you're having right now in spring football, saying, hey, you see what happened this year, even in a down year for Ohio State, you're getting seven guys drafted. That's a great way to build confidence in guys on the roster right now.
Well, and you look at next year's big board, they're going to have another strong class. I mean, guys like Jackson Smith-Jigba, a boomer bust guy like Zach Harrison, who needs to have kind of a put-up year this year. They're going to have a full room of receivers drafted over the next few years. C.J. Stroud, obviously, is in the running to be the top pick next season. So it's a pipeline. And some years you have a year like this where it's some guys that are maybe second-day picks. But again, it starts at the top with the two receivers. I mean, anytime you have two guys go in the first round at the same position, it's much like Alabama did last year with Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith. And we're kind of having that same debate now. I mean, which one would you take, Chris Olave for Garrett Wilson? My answer typically is yes. But, I mean, I think both of them are going to have very good careers.
In your mock draft, this is one of the rare times that I have seen somebody suggest that Chris Olave will be drafted ahead of Garrett Wilson. I'm trying to scroll back up on my computer. You have Chris Olave being drafted number 11 overall in the first round, going to the Washington Commanders. I'm still getting used to saying Commanders. My entire life it was one name, and then it went to Washington football team. So I'm still getting used to the Commanders name for the team in Washington. But Chris Olave being drafted above Garrett Wilson is a surprise to many. But as you said earlier, you can't go wrong either way. Why Olave to the Commanders, number 11 overall?
Well, I mean, he fits that offense. I think some teams could potentially trade up to try to get him. You look at Green Bay and Chicago. There are two places where he would fit. I mean, obviously, Chicago with his old teammate Justin Fields. Green Bay, I mean, his skill set, his ability to get in space across the middle, the route running would fit perfect with the Packers. So I think those are two guys, definitely two teams that could definitely potentially trade up. Now, as we wrote today, you know, on his teleconference last week, Mel Kiper was talking about how Garrett Wilson's the one that has the upside factor that, you know, he could get in that neighborhood of a Devontae Smith or a Jalen Waddle. I don't think he's Jamar Chase, but I don't think too many guys are Jamar Chase. But that's why I think he probably will get drafted ahead of him. But they're both going to be close. I mean, to me, it's a virtual coin flip either way.
Number two, second Buckeye getting drafted in your mock drafted is Garrett Wilson going to a team that's familiar with Ohio State. Just had Malcolm Jenkins retire, former Ohio State Buckeye. But they have numerous guys they drafted, I believe, Pete Werner last year. But then it's the Saints, number 16 overall. I think it's a pick that they just added in the offseason via a trade. Garrett Wilson to the Saints. I think Saints fans would love to add another Buckeye football player to their roster.
Yeah, you know, the Saints, they always have Ohio State players. They've had a really good, strong track record of getting those guys on the perimeter, especially with Michael Thomas, guys in their secondary like Marshawn Lattimore. So this would be a natural fit. And I think Wilson would fit in that offense. Now Dennis Allen bringing a new page into it. The quarterback play could be up and down, but Garrett Wilson's the kind of guy that can make up for some of that with his ability to go get those 50-50 balls. I mean, that's one thing that stood out to me his entire career at Ohio State. He was just able to go up and make some of those contested catches. I don't know what the numbers are, but I mean, I would assume they're pretty high. And I didn't realize he had a better catch percentage last year than Chris Olave. I mean, that was something that kind of surprised me a little bit.
I know one of them had a key drop on a third down conversion against Michigan. I forget which one it was, but you said it so well. You can't really go wrong either way. I don't know if you've heard. I know that Michael Thomas didn't play last year. Do you know if he's going to be playing this upcoming year for the Saints? I know there was some internal issues there for New Orleans. I don't know how that whole situation has gone, but even if you have Michael Thomas and then Garrett Wilson on opposite sides, like, that's amazing for New Orleans fans, and that would be a nightmare for any secondary in the NFL.
Well, Michael Thomas got off to such a good start, you know, in his career. He was a surprise to me how he's evolved into really an automatic, for the fantasy football type players, PPR guy. You know, he got so many catches on so many targets, became a huge part of that offense. And, yeah, he could be a guy that could mentor Garrett Wilson a little bit. We know how the Ohio State players tend to take care of each other, take a lot of pride in that label going to the NFL. So it makes sense that Michael Thomas would mentor Garrett Wilson in New Orleans, and I think he'll be back with the Saints next season.
Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started taking Athletic Greens because I wanted better gut health. I also wanted more energy, but ultimately I wanted a supplement that actually tastes great. Now, I've been taking Athletic Greens for a few weeks now, and I love it. It doesn't taste like it's super healthy. It has kind of a mild tropical taste that I actually look forward to each morning. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All the things wrapped up in one. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/college. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/college to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Next up on your mock draft, we have number 45 overall, Nicholas Petit-Frere. I always have to slow down to say his name. 6'5", 315-pound offensive tackle. You have him going to the Ravens, a Ravens team just like the Saints that has a couple Buckeyes on it. J.K. Dobbins, who missed last year. I hope that he's healthy and is able to get back on the field this upcoming year. But I think that NPF, as I want to put him just to shorten that name down, I do think that it's a great spot for him. And the Ravens could utilize his skill set and even versatility playing left side and right side of the offensive line in their attack over there in Baltimore.
Well, I mean, he's a guy that could, depending on if the team really likes him, go even higher than where we have him. And I could totally see it because you're dealing with a former five-star recruit. He developed a little slower at Ohio State than people expected. Whenever you have that five-star label, you're anticipated to be a day one starter. He wasn't, and that's okay. He developed into a dominant player. I like that he played left tackle and right tackle because when you got a guy that has that versatility, NFL guys like that, and you know Jim Harbaugh's not going to draft him. John Harbaugh probably will, I think he'd fit in well with the Ravens.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, he's one of those players that I do think that wherever he goes, it's one of those situations where, like, the versatility there, and I talked about it here on the show, like, I think going into last season, how hard it is to go from left side to right side or right side to left side or from guard to tackle or from tackle to guard. The footwork, the hand placement, just simply being more interior off of the line versus outside on an island is very, very hard, and he did. MPF did a phenomenal job, but Petit-Frere did a phenomenal job on the outside. And I do think in the rushing attack and really protecting Lamar Jackson, Petit-Frere could do a phenomenal job of doing that. Going to move quickly to the very next player. Let me keep scrolling. Number 77 overall. It's a player that I'm high on. I think his lack of production at Ohio State is not due to himself, but more so due to the offense that Ohio State runs. Tight end Jeremy Ruckert going number 77 overall to the Minnesota Vikings. Why do you think this is a good spot or possible landing spot for Jeremy Ruckert?
Well, he fits in Minnesota for sure. I mean, you put him in that offense, it'd be similar to Ohio State. When you're in the same offense as Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, I mean, you're going to be open and have opportunities. You're right. I mean, when you see 6'5", 240, mismatch, athletic tight end like he is, you wonder why he didn't have better numbers. And I think some of it was just maybe the offense he's in. I mean, the tight end, when everybody's open, maybe Ruckert was just open a half second later than some of those guys. And I think he's the potential to be a really good red zone player in the NFL. And that's where tight ends really get their value, is in the red zone when they can make some of the catches that he is fully capable of making. So Minnesota would be a logical landing spot. He could play behind Tyler Conklin and probably have a really nice start to his career.
I do still wish, and I know this is kind of going back in time, but I still wish that we would have seen a Jeremy Ruckert be more featured in the Ohio State offense. We saw how lethal and how potent it could be with the receivers on the outside and with the running game being what it was. But I still think the offense had a little piece at Ohio State they did not tap into with him on the field. I just can't wait to see where the NFL where he goes in the NFL. And I hope that there's an NFL team, hopefully it's Minnesota, that uses every skill set available that Jeremy Ruckert has in his back to allow him to be the best pro he can be.
Yeah. And well, I mean, part of me is like, as a Packers fan, I was like, I don't want him to do that in Minnesota because that means it's trouble for my Packers. But no, he'll definitely have that opportunity. And again, this draft in general, not just for Ohio State, there are some third, fourth, fifth round tight ends that are really interesting. And he's not the only one. There's the UCLA tight end Dulcich and a few others that you get some value. Calcaterra is another one from SMU. And Ruckert, to me, fits in that description because he's tall, he's athletic, he had a good combine. And I think I like him a little more than maybe some others do.
Next up, we have, I'm going to keep scrolling before I go to my notebook, Thayer Munford, a player that played guard last year, played tackle previously, could be interchangeable at guard or tackle in the NFL, depending on the team needs and how he transitions to the National Football League. Sitting at 6'6", 320 pounds, you have Thayer Munford going to the Houston Texans. Now, that kind of worries me just based off of how they use their players and how sometimes they have been a little dysfunctional lately. But I still think, though, Thayer Mumford can be a player with his versatility going inside or outside, that he can be one of those guys that once he transitions, once he gets his feet wet, once he gets a solid position in the National Football League, he could be somebody that turns some heads once he's at the next level.
Oh, for sure. And he's a guy that actually, if he would have left last year, he probably would have got drafted a little higher. And so the ability to play left guard, left tackle, I like four-year starter types because that shows the maturity that's going to be necessary, especially if he lands in a place like Houston, which is in an honest rebuild now with Lovie Smith. And I don't think that's such a bad thing. Houston, when they traded Deshaun Watson, was able to kind of press a real reset button now. And there'll be some rough times, but you want a guy like Mumford in there when you're doing that because he's got that leadership that comes from playing on an offensive line and having the success that Ohio State's had over the years.
Next up, I want to move quickly here because I want to save some time at the end for Bill to talk a little bit something that's going on currently with college football. On going 110 overall in the fourth round is Haskell Garrett, defensive tackle, 6'2", 300 pounds even. Ran a 5.07 40 at the combine. That was a little bit slower than I thought. I thought he was going to run a sub 5 second, maybe 4.9. High 4.8 would have been like a luxury. I thought 4.9 would have probably been where he was going to be. I'm kind of splitting hairs there. But you have him going to the Ravens once again. I don't know what we're going to get from Garrett in the National Football League. I think he has a spot rotational piece, could be an NFL journeyman. I just don't know how quickly he'll get acclimated to the next level. That's just one of those points where I'm just a little uneasy and kind of questioning and not putting a stamp on this is going to happen or that's going to happen. Just simply because injuries and really just being not the consistent starter or consistent rotational piece. He played in rotation, just there were sometimes in and out playing time wasn't as consistent as far as snaps per game were going to be for him. So that's how uneasy I am, but I do think if he can go to Baltimore, team up with one of his teammates at Ohio State, former Buckeyes as well, that's also great for him at the next level.
Yeah, and, you know, he's going to have to fight for a roster spot, let's be honest. I mean, when you get drafted in that position in the draft, you're going to have to. Again, I think a rotational situational player early in his career can be disruptive. He was really disruptive in spots for Ohio State. And your job as a defensive tackle is to be disruptive, just play well against the run. And like you said, the combine probably expected a little bit more out of him, but still a guy, again, leadership qualities. And I think that's something that's going to help him stick, at least early in his career, whether it's in Baltimore or somewhere else.
BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Last but not least, the last Buckeye you have drafted in your mock draft is a defensive end, another defensive lineman, Tyreek Smith, edge rusher, going number 118 overall, fourth round pick. Those of you that are Browns fans will like this one because that's where Tyreek Smith goes in this particular Ohio State mock draft. 6'3", 265-pounder. He's someone that has different skill sets, and he is someone that Buckeye fans will love. Last year, Tommy Togia got drafted by the Browns. Denzel Ward just got the bag. And if they can bring Tyreek Smith in, another fringe guy, but he's going to be someone that can grind and even take a path that Jonathan Cooper took last year, fighting for a roster spot, getting said roster spot, and getting on the field quite a bit for the Broncos last year. That might be a path Tyreek Smith has this year in this upcoming NFL season.
Well, I mean, he's been coached by Larry Johnson. And anytime you have that, the numbers to me don't matter as much. Like you said, Cooper was really not really a surprise in some ways. But, you know, it's been good to see him just step right in and have a good career. And I think Tyreek Smith in Cleveland makes sense. Close to home type guy. Cleveland has a reputation for taking some of those guys they'll have their eyes on that are local. And Tyreek Smith is that. He is another guy that's going to have to fight for a roster spot. But I think as a occasional situational pass rusher early in his career, that could absolutely happen.
Okay, so there's one player you don't have getting drafted. It's someone that's been at Ohio State for a few years. I think he has 750 rushing yards, I think, in the 2019 season. It's Master Teague. Now, this is someone that I don't think will get drafted. If he gets drafted, it'll be more so the latter part of the draft in the seventh round, probably an undrafted guy. But what's your reasoning for Master Teague not being drafted in this particular mock draft?
Well, I mean, he didn't play that much, right? Like, I mean, he didn't play enough. And I think when you get buried in the depth chart, sometimes he'll probably get a free agent contract and get a chance to show out in the preseason. And he could be one of those guys that you'll see in the preseason play. But yeah, I mean, he had an up and down career at Ohio State. And, you know, when you get buried in the depth chart behind guys like obviously Trevion Henderson and Mayim Williams, and you're looking at the running back room going into next year, he didn't pop as much. But that doesn't mean he won't get a shot to play. And I think he just feels like either a seventh round or guy that gets picked up via free agency and definitely going to have to battle in the preseason to stick as a number three or number four running back.
Do you see him being a special teams piece of the National Football League?
He could be. I mean, that's where they have to start and earn and grind your way in onto the roster. So, you know, he'll be one of those guys that qualifies as one of the notables when they're signed in and after the draft. But he'll get a chance to play in the league. It's going to be an uphill battle early.
We have a few minutes left with Bill, and I talked to him and mentioned this before we started recording this show. The transfer portal, especially around Ohio State, continues to be hot. Another second-year player, a safety, just recently entered the portal right before Bill and I got together to record the show. And so this transfer portal thing to me, Bill, I don't know where you stand on it. It's just been interesting to see how things have unfolded and how quickly players have used this avenue to see and seek playing time elsewhere. Numerous Buckeye players, a couple during the season. We saw quite a few at the end of the season. We're seeing more players right now. I mean, Noah Potter recently hopped into the portal as well. What are your thoughts about the current state of the transfer portal, specifically in college football?
Well, I mean, it's a catch-22. It's obviously beneficial for student athletes and allows them to move around and maximize their value in their playing career, which is very short in college. But I think the intent for which it created, they didn't anticipate this. And some of that is, you know, I struggle with this because I'm from a generation, I don't know how old you are, Jay, I'm 42 years old. I'm from that generation of stick it out, you know, wait your turn, work your way up to that position. And that's just not how it is today. And I'm not saying like back in my day or anything like that, but I mean, student athletes are less patient. They want playing time now. They don't play as a freshman. They're going to go in the portal. I think the number's a little high for my liking. I mean, when you can maybe potentially put together, what, double-digit FBS teams with the number of kids in there. And it's not going to, like people said, it's not going to create parity. It's going to allow Alabama and Ohio State and Georgia and the powers to basically be like the Yankees and Red Sox in baseball, or I don't know if they're good right now. I haven't watched baseball, but you know what I mean? They can basically use that as free agency of sorts.
Bill, I'm 33 years old and I am not a big fan of so many players hopping into the portal so quickly. I do think about my own personal life and think about how quick I might be at times. Not so much to leave a job. I'm not one to leave a job very easily. It takes me a long time if I'm unhappy in a place to leave. But I do see how there's a trend, even among people my age, to not stay in a place for a very long time if you're unhappy. Financially, things might be going well for you. Even the time that you're working, like clocked in, quote unquote, clocked in on the job might be perfect for you and your lifestyle. But people are just not the same mindset as they used to be as far as like trying to make sure their mental health and their mentals are okay. So I understand somewhat some of the players, why they're going in. I don't like how many players are in the transfer portal, college football specific. I've heard other people talk about other sports, how volleyball, women's volleyball has so many, women's college basketball has so many, men's college basketball. I mean, like, I hear people all the time talk about different numbers in other sports, and it kind of opens my eyes to this is just not the same way things used to be. The human thinks different, and that's partly why the athlete in college is maneuvering in a different way, just because humans are kind of thinking different and maneuvering different than they used to.
Right, for sure. And again, like I said, some of these things are great. I mean, NIL is the same conversation. NIL can be great for the student athlete. I'm so glad you're able to get those opportunities. At the same time, there's going to have to be a market correction. When you're reading stories about how quarterbacks who haven't taken snaps have made, you know, more than NFL quarterbacks do. And for what, you know? So I think that's going to be the more bad investments there are, the more that, you know, there's always going to be a booster that comes out and pays this kind of stuff or, you know, a sponsor, whatever you want to call it. But it's not great for the game in the long term. And I think of the two, the transfer portal is probably more of a concern, because then you're going to see things happen. Like, I mean, he didn't come out and say it, but guys like Jay Wright in their prime, so to speak, coaches are going to retire. Because they're not going to want to do that. And, you know, somebody might say, well, boo-hoo, they made this much money. But you need good coaches at this level. So I hope that they come up with a compromise on the transfer portal. And I don't really have an answer for what that might be, other than the limit of number that can come and go. Because if not, like you said, the other sports we don't talk about, it's going to happen to those too.
I think one of the best things that has come out of this, or the best thoughts I have, is that on a college football Saturday, it may even be football during the week, I don't notice any portal action where it's dictating and changing what's happening on the field. I think the product on the field is still going to be what it is, no matter what the portal action is going to be. And that's a positive to me, Bill. I do like that when I'm watching Ohio State play on a Saturday, or if I'm watching whatever primetime game is there, if Ohio State has an earlier game, the product on the field is still the same. And I think that's a great thing for myself and other people like yourself that love this sport.
Yeah, I mean, it's still top heavy.
It is.
It's a little too top heavy. I mean, last year, to be honest with you, Michigan winning the Big Ten is probably a good thing for the Big Ten, because you know that somebody else can actually do it. At SEC, it's like Georgia, Alabama. It'd be a good thing if a Texas A&M broke through, or if LSU won it with Brian Kelly early. That's why everybody's getting so hyped up about USC, is it brings in another region of the country.
Yeah.
You want Lincoln Riley to do a good job at USC because it brings that part of the country into the conversation. So, yeah, I think there are – but in general, when it gets to those big-time games, it's super popular. Georgia, Alabama, nobody can have fault with it. That was like watching an NFL game last year with the talent on the field. Those were the two best teams.
Could you imagine how crazy it would be if Texas or Oklahoma won the SEC championship their very first year in the league?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a good thing too, is that the interest in the sport, the passion for the sport and all those things is still very high. They're not hurting for television viewers or anything like that. It's just these other things within the game that, again, I was telling people, most people wanted these things. You wanted the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And people said, well, these could be the consequences. Well, those are the consequences. You wanted NIL. You got it. Here are the consequences. They're going to have to confront that and deal with the lack of parity in the sport. But in general, the health of the sport is still very good.
It is. Bill Bender, this has been fun. Hopefully we get to do this again at least once or twice prior to the start of the football season. If you could let everyone know where they can catch you on Twitter and then some of the good things you guys are doing at Sporting News leading up to the NFL draft.
Yeah, I'm at BillBender92 at SportingNews.com. We have tons of NFL draft content leading up to Thursday. Vinny Iyer, Jacob Kamanker, and myself. I mean, we're all really going hard at it here and putting together a lot of content. I always love NFL draft week. It's a lot of fun, and I think this week will be no exception.
I'm right there with you guys. You can follow me on Twitter at JSteven07. Bill, it's always fun having you on the show. I think the listeners enjoy you bringing your insight and expertise and just your knowledge about the sport and passion about the sport as well. Just look forward to doing this once again. Bill, thanks for coming back to the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.